Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the March 13, 2020 special meeting of the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners. Let me open with a invocation, if you would. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and eternal God, Lord, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to serve the citizens of Berkeley County. And Lord God, we ask that everything that we do might be pleasing in your sight and beneficial to the citizens of this great county. We ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right. We're going to go into a closed session. I need a motion to go into the closed session.
Make a motion to move into the closed session.
Okay.
General statutes of the listed.
There you go. A second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor said aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Ayes have it. Juan, thank you. If you leave the room, thank you. All right. In open session. So the floor is open for a motion of consideration of Mr. Vaughn.
I make a motion to move forward to move Mr. Vaughn into manager's position.
Second.
It's been moved. We're going to add the salary into the first
motion. I think we are.
Jonathan said
okay,
yes.
Okay, you go and read it out.
Yeah, and the salary would be at $100,000 per year. All other considerations will be in the package they will give you to review on the contract, four-year contract.
I amend the motion to add the $100,000 salary in there also.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Ayes have it. Congratulations, Vaughn. Congratulations. Now, we will give you the written contract. It will be effective April the 1st, but obviously you have a chance to read it, review it. Any questions, considerations, okay. You know, just bring those to our attention.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
One thing we did not discuss, so are we going to let him move forward with an assistant?
Well, I took for granted that we would at some point.
All right.
And I would, that's a good point. Let's open that up. We need an assistant.
Yeah,
we know
so
that.
Too.
So we don't have to vote on that necessarily. We can just by consensus give Ms. Vaughn.
Yeah, the position's already in place.
Right. So give you permission to start the process of finding an assistant county manager.
Great.
Okay.
So once I prepared, Mr. Chairman, the draft agreement, to email it out to everybody.
Yes, please.
All five commissioners and Sarah and Juan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. One other thing, Juan, you mentioned that we're going to need another call meeting prior to April the 1st because of the quarter cent sales tax, right? It says
yes,
we
sir.
Have to have
yes.
Go ahead.
In order for us to, for you all to levy the tax, it requires us to advertise in the newspaper for 10 days. Of course, if the election would have been in November, it would have been much easier to do that. But with the election being March 3rd, it gave us very little time to get that done. So I would suggest if we can have the majority of you, at least three of you, come together, I say by the end of the month, either March 30th or 31st, because we have to have this information. I can email it. So after it happens, it'll be really quick to get it to them. But the Secretary of Revenue has to have it by April 1st. Mm-hmm.
So this has to be an open meeting to the public, too. Is that
yes.
correct? Okay. Well, what's your pleasure, board, in terms of a date? What are you suggesting? What dates, Juan?
I would like to suggest Monday, March 30th, or Tuesday, March 31st, just because with the way that the newspaper, they don't run that often, we have with the news herald,
yeah.
Saturday and Wednesday issues, and then just Wednesday issues with the ledger, so by the time we, and their deadlines to have it in there. So our goal is that we can have it in there by Wednesday, the 18th. If we give 10 days, that pretty much will bring us to the 30th or the 31st.
I may not be here, just let everybody know.
Yeah, I'm good with either day.
So okay. am I, so am I.
The, they're doing the kids at the Tom Rice of Order those 2 days, I guess. We'll see if that continues.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
because
we just
looked
at
you. Okay.
Fine. Let's lock it down. 30th, Monday?
Yes.
Okay, let's do
what
it.
What time?
Time?
You all, whatever works for you.
Early?
Yeah.
10 o'clock? That's not too early.
Well, I mean, for a public hearing, that's...
It's not a public hearing, though. It's just a meeting.
Just a meeting before
you approve that resolution. It doesn't matter what time we have it.
Let's do it early, if that's all right. 10 o'clock?
Yeah. 10.
I'm not going to be here, but let's make it 8.
That's why you will be here.
All right.
Yes, and if you will, just to make it easy, if we will just recess the meeting on Monday and we'll reconvene at 10 o'clock on Monday, March 30th.
Okay.
You'll have to remind me, I'm sure.
No, you say, well, if we have Monday.
Correct, and that's some conversation we can have later.
No. Right? Do you want to discuss that now?
Sure, we can.
Okay. The governor has said all meetings over 100 people should be canceled. And it is very likely that we could have over 100 people at the meeting on the 16th. So I think there are probably two options. We can certainly delay it. I'd hate to do that. Or we could cut off the attendance at 100 people.
And put that
in the announcement.
No, I was thinking.
I think there may be a third option.
Yes.
Maybe one.
General statute says you got to have one meeting a month, and general statute says you got to have a public comment section one meeting a month. So does this state of emergency, which was my question to Kevin and Amy Basin at the association, does this state of emergency override what general statute says?
Governor Cooper said, I was on the call yesterday.
Right. I was.
That effective today, okay. No crowds over 100.
Right.
So I was thinking we would take resolution and support off our regular scheduled commissioners meeting, have our meeting, because that's what's drawing the crowd.
That's an option as
well. And have it after this is lifted. He said right now he's asking, but if people are not compliant, it will be mandated.
That's what he said.
That's
right. Was that your point, Ray? Was that your point? You said that was the third option? Was that?
I mean, I don't think we got, 100 is an arbitrary number. I don't think we're going to have 200. We may have 120. I don't know what we'll have. I'd like to go ahead and get this thing. It's been so controversial. I'd like to go ahead and get it done. I'm just not sure that the consequences of not doing it are going to be worse than the consequences of,
The association is getting more clarification. They said, they would be getting something from the governor. I don't know that we have the authority to do what y'all are discussing.
Authority to do what?
To limit the number of people that come into your meeting, or to not have the meeting at all.
Well, that was my point about limiting.
I don't think we have the authority.
We don't have the authority to not have the meeting.
Yes, because general statute says, you've got to have one. Of course, we're having a meeting, but you got to have a public comment section one meeting a month.
I wouldn't say eliminate the meeting, but you certainly can eliminate the what's on the agenda that's causing everyone to come. Because the district meetings that they're now having have all been canceled. They're very serious about this virus.
The perception.
That's right.
It's going to be hard decisions, and it may not be acceptable, but in order to save people's lives and the spread of this canaries virus, then we need to do what we have to do.
John, do you have a legal opinion on the authority?
Well, this is uncharted territory, really. I think, since the state of emergency doesn't say that you're not supposed to have meetings, I think the meeting ought to be held. I think that would be the first thought I have. And then, I've been mulling it in my head too. I thought one solution would be to limit the number of people at 100, but then how do you choose your 100? If you do it in an arbitrary way or a discriminatory way.
No, just say the first 100 people. We're having it in the courthouse, first 100 people.
Well, you have capacity, like every room for fire code has a capacity. I wonder what the capacity of that room is. It's probably more.
Do y'all think that's wise to stop people from coming to the meeting? It's kind of whereas you can take off resolution in support of the Second Amendment. It's not like somebody going to die.
I hear what you're saying. I'm not, but I think people will think that we're taking it off because we're ducking it and don't want to have it. I think what Greg says is right. People think we're trying to duck it.
Well, that's up to them what they think. But I'm telling you what the governor said. And he will be calling again to public. Here it is right here. Since some people don't believe what I said again.
No, we believe what you're saying. To say if we have to have a meeting,
yesterday, too.
I pulled it up off the computer. I said,
we saw the same thing.
Manager,
and I can't find the email right this morning.
Yeah, because I sent it last night. Because it was on WITN at 5:00.
But tell me, that's a good point. We have to have a meeting.
I mean, maybe. If there
no one
maybe,
said to cancel the meeting.
I mean, you have your meeting. It may be that that all this will suppress some of the turnout. You don't have 130. You have 85.
Right.
That's a possibility. That's just me thinking out loud.
Here's the thing. If we have a meeting, no meeting can be over 100 people, right? Whether we take it off the agenda or not, we can't have 100 people, right?
He's recommending.
That
was his recommendation.
Well, we should follow the governor's recommendation.
And according to Kevin Leonard, my email I received last night, we're going to hear more from Governor soon is how he worded it in the email. I can't find the email. But he said we'd be here, and it would specifically talk about what we're talking about. So,
and this meeting is scheduled for Monday, so we don't really
need time to let the public know.
But
we're not alone in this situation. There's all counties, all 100 counties. A lot of counties have big crowds every meeting. So
I was not going to be here Monday because we have a meeting in Raleigh with the governor. However, it has been canceled. They do not want people congregating with over 100 people.
Well,
the governor has asked that we follow this.
Well, in that case, then we could not have a meeting. We could. If the governor doesn't want us to have one, and it could be over 100.
And we don't have the authority to limit it to 100. And
there
we
you
don't
go.
Have any control over that.
Exactly right.
We could, I guess we could
not have the meeting.
I'm on record saying, general statute is very clear, and it doesn't say except in
I would think the governor
has
an emergency, he would have the authority to say, have a meeting over 100 people.
I'm just saying, Kevin Leonard says we're going to get
Canada's Association. Yeah.
Why don't we allow Jonathan to do a little research on this, maybe get back with us in an email this afternoon, maybe, or tomorrow?
I need to go back. If you're going to have me make the decision, or at least
we're not going to make the decision. You're going to interpret what's been said.
I guess I'm saying if you're going to make your decision based on my legal advice, then I need to reread that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Give you at least a day to read it.
Right.
This declaration.
Yeah, that's what I'm not comfortable with. Exactly what.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if
Tammy's right that we're going to get more, from him.
We'll see what that is too. I forwarded to y'all, but.
If it's just a suggestion,
I think you can choose to have the meeting, but I thought I heard it's a suggestion. At this point, it hasn't been yet turned into a mandate.
That's correct.
If they do not follow, then he would have to mandate it.
Right.
Right now, he's leaving it up to the local officials to do what he's asking.
Can he legally mandate it?
I don't know.
Well,
the governor can, under state emergency, can do
anything he wants to do.
Okay.
So. All right.
Governor Roy Cooper advised people to cancel, postpone, or modify any event likely to draw 100 people or more starting Friday. He also asked all employers to encourage people who can work from home to do so. The measures are voluntary. But Cooper said if officials see people aren't abiding by the guidance, they have the ability to change it to an order. At a news conference Thursday afternoon where the restrictions were announced, Cooper said people are worried about what all this means for their families, their jobs, their incomes, and their communities. Our actions today aim to lessen the long-term negative effects on our economy, as well as our health. Cooper said the state would be looking for help from the federal government, and that he would be talking with the NC General Assembly about ways to offset the cost of medical care for people who can't afford it and about the economic blow from it. is available, possible unemployment benefits and small business aid. Things moving exceptionally quickly. Earlier in the day, several dozen top leaders from the government and private sectors met at the North Carolina National Guard headquarters in Raleigh to discuss the latest on COVID-19, the disease caused by the novel coronavirus. I think things are moving exceptionally quickly, which is why we need to move exceptionally quickly as well, said Dr. Mandy Cohen, Secretary of the NC Department of Health and Human Services. Cooper said that people should expect some tough decisions in the coming days, which he says...
So what do we give Jonathan a little bit of guidance in terms of where we are individually on it? Greg, what's your opinion?
They use the words likely to draw 100 people or more, and I think this meeting is likely to draw 100 people. So, what he did say was a suggestion.
Right. Tammy?
I want to see what further instructions the governor says, because we do have general statute to consider. But, you know, we don't know how many will be there. How many did we have last time, y'all?
I don't think we had 100.
It was over 100.
Okay.
You think so?
I think it was.
It hit?
I don't know.
If he stated it was.
I'm talking about in Powellsville.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's where she's talking about.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, Powellsville.
Easily. I do think they'll look on it as if we're trying to.
Since 885.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go
885. It'll be more now, for sure.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think that without the virus, there certainly would have been more.
Yeah.
With the virus, I'm not so sure. John?
I personally want Jonathan to take a day and mull it over and give us his legal advice on this, and then we can make a conscientious decision. Sure. And if we do it by email or we do it by. County manager calling each commissioner after we get some information from Jonathan or the legalities, okay, to interpret and to give us his legal opinion.
I should take the Second Amendment off the agenda or postpone.
I don't want to take that. I would love for us to have the meeting, if possible, and even if that means limited the number of people. I don't think that's a bad thing to do.
I don't want to say you can't come in. We're over 100.
I don't either.
I think we can say.
Because then you get into a position of being.
Everybody's giving an opinion. Everybody's giving an opinion.
Yes.
My opinion is, if you make the announcement that we're going to have the meeting, but based on the governor's recommendation, we're going to limit it to the first 100 people. That's my opinion.
But it's not the virus at the first 100, it's the large crowds.
Right.
So that 100 is just a cap off, but they're looking at the more people, the more you'll be involved or possible contact.
That's right.
Well, as far as
and
we know,
I said take it off the agenda, because last time they weren't from North Carolina necessarily, they're from all over.
Well, everywhere. I know what Dempsey Bond told me in the Martin County deal, there was people from Virginia there, okay, that came into Martin County, and they had way over 100 people in Martin County.
A lot
way
of folks over. I didn't
he
recognize.
He said 200 at least.
Yeah. Jonathan, give us a little research and get back to us. Okay. All right? Okay.
If I can find an email, I'll forward it to you, but I can't find it.
Okay, and just to add to that, depending on what the decision is, if you all decide to move forward with the meeting, that's something I was going to talk to you all about, is... releasing something to the public, letting them know what to do if we do have a meeting, in terms of if you have any symptoms of the flu,
please
being sick, please stay home. In terms of using hand sanitizer, washing your hands, things of that nature, just to make them aware of how to conduct themselves if we do proceed with the meeting.
Yeah, and you can put it out, use a reverse call system that we have, the call system.
Yes.
I think we're going to have to use that anyway.
Social media.
You know, even if we said we're going to take it off, like you suggested, we need to tell the public that, right? If we're going to have the meeting, if we cancel it altogether, we need to get to the public with some announcement of what our decision is about it, period. Okay? All right. Yes.
While we're on COVID-19, there have been some discussion or questions about, you know, the governor saying something about teleworking where possible, as well as travel and that type of thing. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity, you all, to discuss that. I'm not certain that we're at that point where we, of course, we can continue to assess the situation and make plans if, you know, it hits us hard here, of course. But I don't think we're at that level, that place yet.
I don't know.
To do that. And also the traveling situation is something you and I spoke briefly about that. I don't think, or know, if you all are at the point where you want to say, you know, just no travel. But I do think, if not, we don't do that, that I need to send a message to employees or department heads discouraging travel that is non-essential and that is out of town, especially where the virus has been confirmed.
Let me ask a question, Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Should we not share what happened in Williamston about a week ago? That has not confirmed or been, it's been confirmed it happened, but it hasn't been confirmed that it was, it's an actual case because there is no test kits, okay? You want to bring, you want to go over there or you want me to bring it up?
You're talking about the person who went to Martin County, but turns out they had attended a meeting where someone did have the virus and they were recently.
The one that called 911 and the ambulance EMS went out there. He had the symptoms of the virus.
Oh, yeah.
His girlfriend flew in from South Korea.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They called public health. They, the medical doctor who, one of the nurses at the jail, her husband is an MD in Williamston, okay? And at the public health, I think, I forget the name of it over there, but anyhow, make a long story short, he went in a hazmat suit, went out there. The guy did have the symptoms. He says there's one of two things. You can either be quarantined at the hospital or quarantined at your home.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in danger of the... There's a dangerous phase of it where the lungs start full, but you're not at that stage, okay? But yes, it was confirmed he did have symptoms, correct?
Yes.
I asked last night at the jail board meeting, was this reported to CDC, to Albemarle Health Services and all this?
Mm-hmm.
They said, I'm sure that doctor did report this because they have a protocol they have to go through, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that did happen in Williamston, that did happen, what was it, maybe 5 days ago, 4 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
But it has not been confirmed, nor has it been proven because they have no test kits.
Right.
I hear now they have three test kits now.
But I think you're right. As far as travel, and I think we should leave it, you should make that statement to all of the employees that we want to discourage.
Right.
You know,
right.
Strongly discourage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know for all of us, I had a meeting. Your meeting has been canceled. My meeting has been canceled next week for 3 days in Raleigh. And I think Tammy had something that's been canceled. So,
right.
You know, I think it's just par for the course. Right? Okay.
Can we today postpone this meeting until the following Monday to give us some time to evaluate the situation?
Postpone the 16th meeting?
This is Friday. That's Monday.
Right.
We don't really have time to...
Guys, I've said it 2 months in advance. I have got to be in Kentucky.
Right. We
I
got
have
you.
No
too.
Other choice on this.
No, we got you. We got you. Okay. We got you. Let me just look at it. 16th would be the 23rd. Well, that's another option.
I asked you a question.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's. And you're back, Major?
First.
Oh, y'all, when I wasn't in here, keep having it. That's right.
You here, ain't you?
Uh-oh.
Yes, you are.
16th, I wasn't going
to
be here, and y'all
wanted
to have it, so have it.
What, on the 16th? I'm favorite. I'm
no,
in favor of that.
I'm
in favor of having it, period. Sooner the better.
If he interprets that we can have this thing on the 16th,
right.
I'm going to go. Let's do it.
Yeah, I don't want to put this off. I think it sends a bad signal to
but I
the
think
public,
we need to let him interpret.
But we need to
said.
Also understand public safety. That's overriding.
If you need to interpret what they're talking about, and once you give us the green light, if it's hey, you can do it, let's do it on 16th. Be done with
and let's look out for further instructions from the governor.
I would tell you what they're saying. You can have your meetings, but they are putting it out as a warning right now. for you to listen, because once it hit, it's too late to take all these precautions. They don't want us to get, so that's why we're being cautious now.
She's correct, and that's one reason we've done some of the things we did at the jail.
Right.
Restricted, no visitation from outside sources.
Once it's in, it's too late to do all of this.
Yeah, that's true, too. Check a specialist to see if we have the authority to not have the meeting, period. Mm-hmm. Okay, that means we would not have a meeting that month.
You said check the statute.
Right. See if we have the authority under an emergency declaration from the governor that we could not have the meeting that month, period.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, there's been an emergency declaration.
Monday.
Right. So I think that might be the easiest way out. Right?
Yes,
sir.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
That's probably responsible. Right?
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, we could be in the same position come April.
Yes.
So, but at least it gives us a little time to, you know, to deal with it.
Question. I know the governor has called a state of emergency. Have we, as a local, called
for it? Well, if he calls for one, we're all under.
Yeah. I know, but there's special paper the chairman has to sign.
Yeah.
That way, funds will be available to us.
Yeah. I don't think
I think if the governor calls it for the whole state, then we're all under it, right? So we're all getting it.
Yeah.
I think when we do it, it's just if we want something that's not, you know, that hasn't been called for by the whole state.
Counties declare it, then you're able to.
You're more able to get funds. We do it first, and then we're able to challenge us first because we did do a state of emergency. The local, you know, that's one thing the chairman can do. I can tell you that is happening in some counties. The clerk's list serve is blowing up with counties who are doing that. Buncombe County is one I just got. It's better safe than sorry. Their state of emergency.
Better safe than sorry. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yep. Better safe than sorry. Okay, let's get on then, if nothing else with that. Robin's here. Hello, Robin. For the PODF grant components, and we'll turn it over to you.
This will be exciting. These are the master plan drafts from Vines Architecture. And then paperclip to that, just some quick review we'll go over. And then pricing sheets. Oh, also, we had a great time with these 4-H teenagers. I had to remind myself not to keep calling them. Y'all are great kids. Great teenagers. We just had the best time. Steve and I presented the Tall Glass of Water project to them last week, and they just ate it up. They had a list of questions. They had their floor plans in front of them, or, you know, site plans. And, yeah, it was a good time. And then we went to the site and did a lot, got stuck. It's a good time. They were real troopers. And I think they're going to end up being the first group that goes out there to camp.
Cool.
They're talking about where they're going to camp. Down over there by the lagoon, which is where we got stuck. And they have a great leader, too. Guy Holly is wonderful. Okay. What, you know, we're nearing submission of the Part F grant. April 1, the draft is due. So our target is to get all of our necessary approvals in place from the Board of Commissioners. So if you look at this face page, what Part F requires is approval of Phase 1. It also requires approval of the master plan, which is what this is. approval of CIP that Mr. Vaughn and I have discussed, we're going to postpone that until your next meeting in April. And also, I'd like to talk today a little bit about USDA potential, right, which is due March 31st. If you want us to go ahead and submit that, then we would need your approval today, minutes to show the approval for $150,000. So let's start off with phase one. Your master plan has a tab on it. If you turn to that tab, that's phase one. Flip the page, and that shows all of the components for master report for phase one. So your staple sheets show the budget, and it says option A and option B. So we felt that it helps, you know, if you're looking at all the pictures, you're seeing all of the components, all of the build out that's proposed for phase one. So option A, you're getting all of the pictures that you're looking at. It's the public swim beach, the public beach access. That includes the mats to the water, the handicap ramp going down the path, restrooms, showers, picnic shelters, kayak kiosk, trails, 2 miles of trail, primitive camping, two overlooks, and the open field area. The total for this is 1.4. That includes everything that we're seeing in the pictures, and that includes the soft costs, the architectural fees, etc.
Can somebody refresh my memory what the architectural fees are?
It's like close to 20%.
So about $280,000 on 1.4?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're capping it at the exact 20%, so I think 232 or... They've also proposed a option B. And if you put your price sheet up, you know, the front of the price sheet shows right-hand column, you know, picnic shelter, no. We take out the kayak kiosk, take out 1 mile of trail, take out the primitive camping, and take out the overlooks. And then if we reduce the meadow, we can come up with $1 million.
So there's, on option B, there's no ADA to the beach?
There is, but it's shortened.
And that's all the options here. And then I'm assuming, like phase one, it's A, three, the A's, and then option two is the B's on, in this book, or is that, it says phase two, so
yeah.
That's a separate phase.
Yes, okay. Phase two is a separate phase.
I got you.
We need to know what your decisions are for phase one before we hold something.
All right, let me go back to this.
One of the reasons for doing this is naturally because of price. One of them is $1,337,960. And, you know, we knew when we were applying for the Part F that you were kind of, sort of, only committed to $500,000 if that's what we get. So, hence the reason for option B that puts you back at the $500,000 that you committed, not more than. And, you know, it's just so that y'all have an option of not spending extra money that you haven't committed yet.
Yeah. But now, so is the USDA covering that 150 because, or is that part of covering the going toward our half of the half 500,000?
Okay, this total of the 800,000,
yes,
that goes towards the, you know, our responsibility. So, or rather, hold on. $75, $150. There's $300,000 in grants that would go against the $500,000. That would be your responsibility.
If we get
it right. And one of those is the USDA?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question. If we don't get them, and we do get the Part F, then we need the whole $500, but we have the offsets of the purchase of the land, okay? We do not have the offset of the purchase of the $120,000, 10 acres. We do not. So we have to come up with a full $500,000.
Right.
Correct.
With a one-to-one match,
mm-hmm.
what we've spent already is not reimbursable. Even at a 50% rate.
Okay.
So what you'd pay me, for instance, would be reimbursable half of it.
Okay.
Because it's a one-to-one.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I'm a planning.
Why wouldn't we want to try to secure the $500,000 in case we don't get the other three grants? We can always send the money back, can we not?
Well, you don't get it.
You don't have
to.
That's
yeah,
fine.
That's,
we just don't accept
but
it.
The, yeah,
but the point is the same.
But
yeah. Okay.
I can tell you, if you apply for it, you get it, and you don't accept it, they'll remember the next time you apply.
Well, then maybe we'll find another use for it.
Yeah.
That, we can find another use for it and make sure that fits into our budget scheme.
Right.
Okay.
So if the, the question is A or B, B is at the million, A's at a million three, we don't see that difference. I think we ought to go with B, because we can always do more later.
Well,
but that keeps us at that $500,000.
And that's what I was talking about a second ago, because I agree with that, because quite frankly, when you look at the picnic shelter, you look at the kayak, how do you pronounce that?
Kayak.
Kiosk.
Kayak I can pronounce, but what is it?
Kiosk.
Primitive camping. I'm not sure about overlooks. You got an open field, whatever, but meadow seeding. These are things that the county can basically do on their own.
That's correct.
Without doing this. I mean, because to build the picnic shelter area and these things that I'm looking at, you're not talking $400,000, okay? You're not talking that at all. I mean, you're talking a third of that.
We've discussed.
Robin and I have had a lot of discussions about these numbers
because
I'm
very steep
numbers all the time.
They're very steep, and I sit here and I look at that. And let me ask you another question: if we do commit to some, okay, I understand we've got to have the drawings, okay, we've got to have the architecturals, all right, but that doesn't mean that we have to use that particular architect's contractors to do this. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
We
can selectively use people that are local that do land clearing for the primitive sites and price it straight through the county, okay? Do it that way, and you're going to save tons of money.
Well, that's one of the things we talked about. We talked about using local contractors. I mean, even when we talked about, you know, we expressed that to all of the firms that we looked at, that we wanted to be sure that we use as many local contractors.
Well,
but that they work through us and not the firm. That's where they're, because the firm is going to put 20, 25, 30% on top of it, okay? So that's the point I'm making.
One of the things that we talked about, prime example here, that you brought, Kayak Kiosk. You can go to where, Elizabeth City, and buy one of the outdoor sheds for a lot less than $19,999.
It's a cubby
hole.
It's
a you know, has a,
yeah,
a you're
right, Tammy,
on the end of it.
No, Tammy, you're right. This is actually
shove the shacks in there. You know, the road repair. Road repair. $121,000. Well, I've got three quotes, and the highest quote that we've got to dig out holes, put in filler, put in fiber below them so the stuff doesn't run through the whole works for the whole road. The highest one we got was $28,000, I think.
Thank
you.
It's
the highest we got.
Point of being.
So
right.
What Robin and I have discussed several times is the same thing that you're saying. There's things in here that we can say, look,
there's no question. But the bait is still the same, Steve. Should we... I feel like we should base it on asking for the $500,000.
Yeah.
Question is, should we ask for more than that? That's what the 1.3 is. And I would hate to see us do that and not and then come up short on the matching dollars. We can always add, right? And we're not applying, you know, we're not going to give us more. They're not going to apply for more than a half million, are we?
Oh, no.
That's the limit. Nice. That's the limit. So but we ought to deal with the half limit. I mean, with the half million, and we can always look to do other things if more grants come in than we expect or whatever.
Well, another thing that she and I have talked about, too, is just like the road. We take it out of here, not take it off option B, because they still got it under option B.
Right.
So we take it off option B and say, no, we're not going to fix the road. We're going to fix that ourselves or whatever. Right. You know, that's $100,000 savings right there. So it's $100,000 savings, but it's also their 22 to 25% that we're saving. So there's not a lot when you're talking about $19,000, but there's a whole lot when you're talking $121,000.
Well, only thing I would say is that we need to be very clear with Vines that that's what we're going to do. So there's no, you know, so they understand what the expectation is. We're going to look to save money on it, and if there are things that we can do ourselves at a lower price, then that's what we're going to do.
And I think that's something that maybe our consultant, chairman, and our county manager need to get them on the phone and talk to them about this to make sure that they have a clear understanding. Okay.
We went over this with them in the budget review. Okay. We got this, you know, about taking off the 121.
Oh.
Also about using local contractors. I mean, if we're getting any kind of federal money, we are going to have bids. But we've got people to bid this.
Yeah,
that's still not an issue. Most of this has to do with land clearing. There's four or five people around here to do that.
So, I'm a little bit iffy about putting a metal shed out on the beach,
let me say this. I wouldn't want us to cut corners on anything.
No.
I wouldn't want to see us cut corners on anything. We've got one chance to do this right. Let's do it right. And not something very nice. Let's just not cut the corners. We don't need to do that. We got time to do this over stages. So let's do it right.
So we'll go with option A. We're going to do what we can.
Option B.
B. B.
B.
B.
Oh, B.
Option B.
Option B. We're going to do what we can to continue to reduce the cost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we can do that. And then what we'll do is we'll move into phase two, what we didn't choose. We've had a good idea about... if we had some good plans done, isn't there a shop class or the 4-H or some sort of youth group or something? That
at
might
school,
want to
I don't know if they have woodwork or whatever there.
Yeah, they do. Mike Dowell's son teaches it. Picnic tables and stuff like that. They can make all that stuff for us. If we want
you've got a community college, too.
Exactly. Pay them to do it versus giving the property.
Yeah, the community college, they build houses.
Yeah, Pitt does. I know. Sure do. I don't know about anybody else, but I know Pitt does.
Not a my place.
We can.
Kiosk is a cubby hole. It's a wooden cubby hole. I mean, that would be simple for a shop class to build.
No, you're right. Or
no,
just a hire.
It would be good for them to get some plans. And
yeah, that's right.
Plans.
Shammy, you're right.
Absolutely. Donna has 12 kayaks to get stored. They have to be stored right. You can't just pile in and open the door.
That's right.
You have to. She wants to put a metal, a cord, a padlock, something. We have to devise something.
Sure. It could be a metal screen, chain link, gated fence in front of it, and it can be a metal rotted fence. In other words, you know what I'm talking about? Any of these things.
Yeah. Let's get some plans.
Right. Yeah.
Get some what?
Plans.
So, option B, we'll reach out to community college, get plans first, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that means that the grants, we'll go ahead and apply for the CAMA at 75 and the NC Trails at 75, not the higher number. The higher number would be if we were going to go with Plan A, because we have more, there's more benefit with Plan A, because there's more product.
So we don't have enough product to apply for the higher amount?
I don't think we have enough to swing it. There's not the push there. NC Trails really wants to pay for trails. The meadow is part of the trail experience, so we can include some of that money in there. Mm-hmm. There's also, we can include some planning money in NC Trails. I mean, I will ask, but we have a stronger case when we've got a big list of activities going in. We'll ask.
And Kama?
Kama, 75, she felt like that was what we need to ask for. Kama doesn't have the money that Parda has. But with this, with your decision now, we can go ahead and start pulling apart where the dollars actually go. You know, it's tough because part of, you know, we have to split each cost, each line item cost, 50-50. So what we're trying to do in the column that's the commissioner's share is eat into that number.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But in this particular case, what I'd like to also recommend is places that we can see, like the picnic shelter, that is $96,900 under option A, and it's completely out under option B, that y'all allow us, when we find $100,000 like we have fixing the road,
that's right,
we to put do the picnic shelter back in, something yes. that you want, take the road out, you know, I mean, move things around that will certainly give us more numbers, more product when we apply for other grants.
Any savings that we make, you spend that money to advance the budget, right? I just good sense.
That picnic shelter is pretty huge too. I mean, it wasn't just...
So it's 5,000 square feet. It can easily be done by a carpenter crew that we can hire that will work directly for us. We built an EMS building in there cheaper than anybody else when Albie, with the other architectural firm that's handling the cooperative extension and all that, he told Scott, exact words, $150 a square foot. We brought it in at $87.50 a square foot. He said, no way. We did it. Because we use this kind of labor. And they're quite capable of doing this picnic shelter, having the TNG underneath, putting metal roofing on the top of it. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, this is easy compared to what we've done.
They're going to have to conform to the price. What they had designed was the restrooms and the outdoor showers within the picnic shelter top. It was all integral. You know, what they'll have to do is separate them. But come up with something.
Well, all those things can still be installed in that too. Yeah. All we're doing is running plumbing to a septic system.
I wouldn't change the plans. Let them draw the plans. I'm just saying, we have a lot of capable folks here who can do this at much lower than this.
We've made that very clear.
Right.
So they're waiting for your decision today, and right. we're going to go back to them. But I think we should talk to them about, you know, if we can do the picnic shelter for much less, they should not include the bathrooms as part of the picnic shelter. You know, it's separate.
Well, for the sake of the grant, though, I think you need to put everything in you can put in.
I think
right.
so,
yeah. just so that they
and not take anything
really
out. Right. Leave it all in there.
So when we save money by doing it, that money can then roll over to do extra, right? Huh?
You have to do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah, but okay. it's something
but if we
that
save money. We can put it towards something.
And we're not talking about saving money by changing the plan.
Right.
Okay. Like something that wasn't included in the plan.
The county and not through Vine.
Right.
You're still doing picnic shelters. You're still
and that's
doing
the reason I made the comment.
You're still doing bathrooms.
Chairman,
it's just
county
going to be
manager.
Less on you.
Right. We discussed that instead of Vines being the GC, that we would do it ourselves. Is that what you're thinking?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. If that's what the rest of the board is thinking.
And it depends on whether it's federal dollars involved or not as to what you have to do. But we can work with it.
Right. Because when you get federal monies, all of a sudden, and USDA too, because we're going to go back to USDA for community facility money. Phase three for the construction of the education, meeting facility, et cetera. They're going to require that we've got the correct bonded, licensed, everything in place, LEED certification. We just have to be sure that we adhere to all of that.
Well, the county is their own contractor, which we did with the courthouses and everything else. It's the same difference, and we're bonded. Now, again, I think chairman and the county manager need to get on the horn and find out whether or not we can do this, because we don't muck it up either, okay? So those are some questions that need to be answered.
We have to be aware of something. We don't want to find out.
I agree with you 100%. I don't want to get kicked in the teeth at the end. All I'm doing is bringing the obvious out of what we can do and stretch our dollar, get the same product and stretch our dollar.
Right. And Vines has done plenty of this. They can answer that question for us if they understand what we're trying to do, right?
And Ron, it may take you just get on the phone one and get that path across.
Yeah. But that is the way to go. And it would not affect the quality of the build or anything else. That I'm confident of. And gives us a little bit more flexibility. And it's not really changing the plan, what's in A, but if we save the money, we can go into something perhaps that was not in there or more of something, you know.
Right. So option B, correct? Mm-hmm. So what we need then is in the minutes to reflect the approval of Part F grant application.
For Part B.
For $100,000.
Mr. Chairman, you need a motion.
Yeah, we do.
For $500,000.
$500,000.
And not necessarily option B, but just $500,000.
Just five. Okay, yeah. Great. Floor's open for a motion.
I make a motion to move forward with the $500,000 option.
Second.
Moving and properly second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nays? Ayes have it. Approved.
Now, let's review the entire master plan. Now, Part F, the boards, we understand that we're casting some projections here that are pretty big. This is a 10-year, 8, 9, 10-year plan. They want to be sure that you're approving the plan, not necessarily the costs, that you're approving the plan because you're in it for the long haul. You're not just going to do phase one and that's it. You have a broader vision. So that is.
Kind of like we deal with athletic fields. The park. You bought the property, then you did this.
Yeah.
They like that.
If you go to pages 60 and 61, this is phase two.
The input committee, since I haven't been a part of that, have they talked about, like Greg was saying earlier, the camping sites will generate revenue, so mm-hmm. why was that not done in phase one instead of versus phase two? I know the money aspect, you got to have some bathrooms and all that good stuff.
Right, it was the utilities, bringing in utilities. But first off, it was to try to give the community the access to the water. So we felt like that was the priority of those. Second was, all right, if we're going to do RVs, then we need that infrastructure. But also people who are coming to utilize the RVs, they want the amenities that are, they want the build out done in part.
the chicken or the egg.
So an RV construction is, you know, on that side. So we're starting waterfront.
We're going to work back.
This way.
So, what kind of time frame are we looking at? I just think he's all. I firmly believe he's always going to generate a lot of money.
Now, I can't agree anymore with that. But again, you know, I think that even if this gets started on the water side, if we can come up with some money, why can't we get that part done ourselves also?
That's the biggest infrastructure.
Yeah.
The water and electric.
We got to get the sewer system put in, which is going to be a septic system, watered in, electrical out there. And my thing is that once that's done, Katie, by the door. I think I agree with that part. I mean, because it's a cash generator. It's going to draw people in there to be able to park an RV.
But you've got to have the basic amenities in order to draw RV people.
And again, that's what I said. We've got to have the sewer system. We've got to have the septic system. I got a phone call last night from a guy I never expected to get a phone call from. And he said that he was at the, what's that swamp, Northwest, the great dismal swamp, okay? He was talking to the lady up there, and I'll tell you, it was Steve Minton, okay? Never expected to get a call from Steve Minton. Never in my right mind would I get a call from Steve Minton about this, okay? He called up, and he was telling the lady up there about what we're doing in Bertie County, reference to beach. I never expected Steve Minton to talk about this with anybody in a positive manner, okay? He told me, I told her about it. And she got so excited, and her comment was, there's so many people that's traveling down Highway 17 that will go in there to stop because there's no place else to go, and put your feet in the water, park an RV before they get further up the road and these things hit.
They don't need all this stuff is noise, but they'll come with that.
That's right.
Here, this little hole in the wall of Windsor up here stays with the full all the time. Now, they have nothing but somewhere to park a camper.
And just to go along with that, Billy was telling us Monday at a meeting we have with East Carolina that he's got some kind of camping group that's here coming this weekend and has filled up everything he's got down there. Had a couple of them that he couldn't accommodate, but again, his big thing is he's got water, electricity, and some poor form to take a shower daily. That's the only thing that
basic amenities.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just the water and electricity is the big thing.
You got to have that.
If we shuffle and move the income producing activities more towards the phase two, phase three,
that would be
we still have to have the engineer.
That's where you're right.
We need all the
correct.
And then we can get to the bidding phase. Locally bid, contracted.
And again, getting back to the engineering is something that we're not capable of doing ourselves. The other stuff we are. I meant drawing the site plan where it comes to a sewer system, a water plan, the whole nine yards. That needs to be done by an engineering firm, which would go through Vine, I assume. And that's the way that would need to go.
So move RVs forward. So RVs would include cabins too, because those are going to come.
RVs is going to be the cheapest thing. Cabins are going to be much more expensive.
And a lot more folks are going to camp in their RV and the better camping sites rather than the print.
Oh, right. Yes. I understand. There's a number of different levels of camping on Tallgrass
Floor. Oh, yeah.
There will be.
Oh, yeah. So. That's what we're right.
So we can move that around, but the basic build out all these different elements, you know, you all are in agreement with, right? Mm-hmm. We still want to go to the pavilion, music pavilion / auditorium.
Yeah.
Kids can have every night. You can have revivals. but that doesn't need to have any phase two.
Church service with baptism.
Yeah. Well. I don't know about phase two, but I think the pavilion would be a really huge draw, you know. So when do you see, if you're going to put that in phase three, When is that likely to start? What are we talking about? Far off?
Depending on the money. To be real honest.
But that's one of the biggest draws, other than the water and the camping, is the pavilion, I think.
Yeah.
It's a moneymaker, too.
Well, I think with the information that we have today, we go back to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And the planning, the money that has to come first always has to be the planning. Because we need to pay the engineers first, we need to pay the architects. Because we need the drawings.
We've got to have that.
Yep.
So when we look for grants, we have to look for the grants that are going to give us the planning money.
That's right.
So then we're coming up with this list of funders for that. So we're going to reform this with Vines moving forward. Because we want them to redraft this, reflective of what y'all's decisions are today.
Okay.
Do we have time to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will throw things out there that we will have time to get changes made. We've got to be able to get this grant in on time.
Oh. You needed a vote on the master plan today, is that right?
Pardon? We do need a vote on the master plan,
mm-hmm.
especially if the 16th is questionable, because we want all of this into Brittany April 1.
Okay.
Need a vote on the A or B option. Is that what you need to vote on?
No, just the master
plan. No, you already voted on the B.
Okay.
We need to vote on the entire master plan.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You need a motion.
Yeah, let's do that now. Flows up before a motion on the master plan.
Okay, I'll make a motion. We move forward with the master plan.
Second.
Moving properly second. All those in favor? Aye. Those opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. Master plan.
Thank you. But take these home. Look through them. If you have any questions, give us a call.
One thing we were actually scared of is that you go into Part F and say, get ready for a $21 million project. And then they look at you and go, and you only want to get $500,000 from us, whereas the other $20,500,000 would come from, So we were skeptical about that. But then again, when we started looking through their numbers, we see where there's a lot of savings. I mean, an awful lot of savings. So you're using our own people and using, as I like to call it, using local numbers versus the triangle numbers, you get a roof put on a house in Raleigh, and it's four times more than what it is to get one put on down here.
Yeah. But also, Steve, when we got the first part of grant, right, they told us that they expected us to come back right away the next year, and we didn't. They expected us to come back. So nothing to prevent us from coming back again, right?
Well, I think, the vision is great.
Absolutely.
The funders have seen the draft.
Right.
They love it. NC Trails met him on the site with Steve Rogers, Superintendent Rogers, and Donna, Steve and I walked the site. They're excited. And I think we can end up going back to NC Trails next year.
Any of the funders that have seen this, have heard about it, they're excited about it. Very excited.
And I always think, it's really high, the number, this is that world-class waterways celebration here. And Vines took that to heart, when they designed everything.
One of the questions I had, it was that the piece that Stan is working on, right, the educational component, right? If he finds the funds to do that, where is he thinking about locating that?
That will be
Site X.
On the 300 acres, I know.
All the way down.
No, I thought it was going to be on the 300 acres.
I thought that's what he said.
Too. I thought he, you sure?
No.
What he's indicated us was it was going to be right down close to the, not right on the water by any means, but on
Salmon Creek, what?
Yeah, where they were actually digging.
I misunderstood him.
I did too.
Because
I was asking if he was going to do it on 300, why not put it right on the border? So that parking or whatever for that could be utilized for multiple purposes, not only for
what we've understood doing. About the 300 acres is that it's going to be an absolute. How do they refer to it? low impact. They didn't even want us to put horse trails on them, or bike trails. They didn't mind walking trails, but it was supposed to be a 100% low impact.
So where it's going, it's not going to be low impact, right?
No, that's correct.
And that's going to be not on the 300, not on the... where on this is that going to be?
It's the southernmost point of the site.
Yeah, that's where, yeah. Passive recreation use. That's the ranger station proposal. Future road to cut up into there. Now this is from the Park Service, their plan. It doesn't reflect what Dr. Riggs wants to do. But our understanding is that it would be down here, close to where the docks are.
Yeah, I think Tammy's right, though, Robin. When he told us, he was thinking about putting it on the 300 acres. And because I even made a comment, I said, well, then why couldn't it be right on the border so you can have multiple usage for the parking space? Yeah, we talked about the shared parking for it.
I really thought, but I mean, I've been wrong before, so...
Yeah, he didn't say no.
Commissioner Bazemore, have you talked to Dr. Riggs about the 300 acres? Is that where he wants to locate it?
No, he didn't say that.
I didn't say anything about it.
Okay.
Well, I can ask
him. Yeah, please, please.
Superintendent Rogers there that day with NC Trails, Bob Tabor, you know, where they're going to have the access from your site into theirs or where those two roads are, and then they'll have walking paths and all. So. Real quick. All right, so we've got the master plan. And then do we have the formal approval of submission of the USDA? Did we already do that?
No.
No, we didn't do that
yet. Okay. Close up before the
submission. Are we going to go to USDA for the 500?
No, 150,000. That's the math.
RBDG, technical assistance money. And we were not going to do this because when I read through the opportunity grant and the enterprise grant, sometimes you just can't mold it to fit. But the Kinston office said, we really think we think that we can help you with technical assistance money, which means it can only be used for the architectural fees.
That's right. If they think they can really do it, we need to put
and
it on.
And then community facilities will come in.
Right.
Sure. So
we move forward with the USDA on 150.
Move them. All those in favor, say aye. Move them truckly second. Ayes have it.
Thank you. Last thing is on April 6th, we have the CIP, which is the Comprehensive Improvement Plan, which is also a requirement of Part F. And so we're not just asking for approval on the Part F phases, which we've discussed. The Parks and Recreation Trust Fund wants to see there's commitment throughout the county as a whole for recreation, not just the one-shot project. So the CIP reflects a long list of other needs. Some of those needs were identified in the Camel Land Use Plan and the Recreation Plan, Comprehensive Recreation Plan.
And I have a copy of that. That was one of Mrs. Sowell's projects before he left. And while he was still manager, I asked him a while back if we had a CIP. So it's interesting that now Part F will give us additional points if we do have a CIP. And so just to give you a little information about that, capital improvement plans, counties usually designate somewhere, let's say, $50,000. Everything in the capital improvement plan will be in the amount of excess of $50,000. And so for all departments across the board in the county, we'll just spread them out over a five-year fiscal year period just to give you a plan to say we're going to do these items this fiscal year and just plan it out for about 5 years, and it could go up to 10. And so I have a list for you here. It will just take some time. I'd like your feedback on your priorities and how you would like to see them. And it's nothing in here that's, of course, written in stone. This is our document,
It just needs to be approved before May 1st. So hopefully we can make some progress at our next work session on April 6th. And so these are some projects that have been identified for a while back, and don't be alarmed by some of the prices. Scott said he inflated them intentionally because some of the prices that we received were a while back, and so they may have gone up since that time. So I'll give each of you a copy of this, and if you'll make some notes. And this is something that we'll take a closer look at our next work session. And it is front and back.
Ron,
yes.
I handed out the 4-H press release and said, you know, we had a great time with those teenagers. I think they'll be in the loop for the long haul. Also, UNC School of Government, thank you, Commissioner Lee. They have copies of everything, and they are looking at, Jonathan Morgan, looking at helping us with an economic impact statement, which we feel like we really need. How much money is this project going to put back into the county? So it would be exciting to have them involved. So they're working on that. Tall Glass of Water, our next public meeting, because during Black History Month, remember, we didn't have but one public person coming to the meeting at the Senior Center. We can do it again in April.
Yeah.
And assuming that we're clear of the coronavirus, we'll probably have lots more than 100 people.
I hope. It would be nice.
Okay.
You had to go to YMCA and gather up people.
What are your suggestions for Morgan moving forward on that, please? I mean, go to the faith-based communities, go to the churches. I mean, should I start with one or the other? Just reach out to everybody and have them?
I think we need to reach out to everybody, but I think using the faith-based community is a excellent way. You know, even, you know, half dozen of the major churches, you know, would turn out some folks, get a commitment from them to do that.
All right, we can go ahead and we've identified a date. We can go ahead and push that out and check with the chamber to make sure, you know, and everybody else too, to make sure that we don't have any other conflicts.
Yeah.
Like we did last time.
We actually checked with Ching last time, and they got the head of the name.
Yeah. And then branding, the Destination by Design Group is coming April 15th and 16th to meet with you. All right. Thank you, and we'll report
back. Okay. Great. One question.
Yes.
That $11 million that they showed us that was coming to Bertie County through us to the schools, did you ever find out what that is?
Yes. No, I have not found out what that is. I'm not sure that my superintendent is aware either, but we're going to have some more conversations about that.
We need to find out.
An update soon.
We need to find out. That was written to say that they're going to get $11 million.
From where? We don't know.
From the state. Through Erica, our senator. It was approved, so she told us, $11 million. She got this approved for Bertie County Schools for redevelopment, not building new, but rehab and some other stuff. And I don't think the superintendent was aware of it.
Right. But I found out.
Where did that come from?
From the state. From the school money.
Erica, Senator Smith made us aware of this, but supposedly it's coming from the state.
Yeah.
You guys didn't know about it?
No, I did not,
no.
Oh, you're so...
It blood flew my mouth. I said, $11 million. I mean, that's serious money.
And that don't mean going
to see, but I'm talking about. No, she says it's approved.
Yeah, we need to see that in writing. Yeah. I believe it when I see it.
But I think it may have been tied to the budget being approved, which was not approved.
Yes, it's not.
That may be the
I got $87,000 too, but it ain't approved.
Right.
No, but I think it has been approved, but the budget has been approved.
Right, so right.
That means
I ain't got no 87 right. either.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of money.
Yep.
All right.
Let's call it a day.
Anything else? Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Make motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second. Approved? Good job. Thank you.
so hungry I didn't eat breakfast.
Just some Chinese right across
the road. I knew it was going to be a 5-minute
I'm going fishing.